Hi everyone, welcome to Last Day at APHA. I hope you guys have had as much fun as I have. I feel like I learned a lot. So today I'm going to talk about caregiver stress and caregiver burden and what that means in terms of mental health outcomes. I want to thank my co-authors. They're from both Columbia, Dalhousie University in Canada, and St. John's University in New York. I have nothing to disclose. Maybe one day I'll make enough money that I can disclose something. So some of you will find this pretty familiar. Caregiving is defined as the assistance of someone who is in need of help with daily activities due to physical or mental disability. Most caregiving for older adults, and since we're in the aging in public, aging health section, most care for older adults is done by family members. It's either a spouse or a child that usually does the caregiving, and up to 95% of older adults with disability receive some sort of assistance from friends and family, and two-thirds rely on this form of care alone, right? So they're not getting any sort of outside help other than the care that they receive from their spouses or children. And for the most part, unpaid family caregivers are the largest source of long-term care services in the U.S., it's estimated to reach 37 million caregivers by 2050, and that's an increase from 85% in 2000, right? We have this aging population, and we just don't have the services in place to really take care of them, so it really does fall on the family members taking care of their parents. We know that caregiving can be burdensome, and it often impacts both the physical and psychological health of the caregiver. We've seen in various different literature, there's been several studies that show that there's caregiving can be associated with poor mental health outcomes, including depression, anxiety, and use of medications to cope with said mental health outcomes. And they're also more likely to have, other type of physical effects such as higher blood pressure, higher insulin levels, they have higher rates of diabetes, and impaired immune systems. But one thing that, one thing that is kind of evident within the caregiving literature, there doesn't really seem to be this really cohesive theory when we're talking about caregiving stress and burden. Everyone kind of, there's some stuff floating out there, but it doesn't really seem to be applied in a very cohesive type of way. A lot of the literature actually combines caregiving stress and caregiving burden. I think that there are different things that should be separated. Caregiving stress is how the caregiver actually perceives their experience of caregiving. It's how that they are coping with it, what they're actually dealing with, the experience of the actual caregiving. And this is totally different than burden, right? Caregiving burden is an objective measure. It's how many hours you're actually doing caregiving tasks, what those tasks are, how much is involved in doing those tasks, it's the type of care that's provided. So they're two different things. And we thought it was important to separate the two and to kind of look at how they differentially affect mental health outcomes. So we kind of hypothesized that caregiving burden and caregiving stress would be related, right? So the more caregiving that you're doing, you're probably more likely to be more stressed out about it. But we thought that they would differentially affect how they actually impact on the caregiver. And we thought that it would be how one actually copes with caregiving and not really necessarily how much they're actually doing that would really have an effect on their mental health. So, some people, and there's been literature on it, see caregiving as something that's really, they find a sense of satisfaction. They find a, purpose in their caregiving. And they're not going to have higher rates of poor health outcomes because they don't see it as such. Where some people, it really is very burdensome to them, and it's not necessarily that they're doing, that much caregiving. It's just simply how they perceive it and how it fits into their life. So we used the Nova Scotia Health Study, and this is a really large population-based sample of adults in Nova Scotia. There's over 3,000 adults that they've sampled in 1995, and the nice thing is that they link it with the medical records, so we can actually follow them throughout time. We have 10-year outcome data with incident CHD events, so I'll discuss that as a side note a little bit later. And we had data at from the participants in terms of caregiving burden, caregiving stress. They actually did ask them a separate questions. Anxiety, depression, and hostility. And in the study, the caregiving was defined as any type of help or care for a person of an illness, disability, mental handicap, mental or behavioral problem that has lasted or is expected to last 30 days or more. And this, again, does not include paid work or volunteer work. So they gave a very specific definition of what they consider caregiving. And they had, you know, these two types of indices to measure caregiving burden. And it was, again, very specific. It was the frequency of how, you know, of tasks of daily living, how often you do them. And there was a range of scores. And caregiving stress was 12 items, and it was really more about the frequency of emotional strain. So how often, you know, were you stressed out, you know, or unable to cope, or feeling like this is too much for you, those types of questions. And in terms of the mental health outcomes, we had really nice, valid, reliable measures, such as the Center for Epidemiological Study Depressive Systems, so the CSD, the Cook-Medley Hostility Scale, and the State Trait Anxiety Scale. So these are well-known, validated measures to measure anxiety, hostility, and depression. So we ended up including 2,900 participants, because these are participants that consented to follow up, and they just consented us to allow us to follow them. We used some scatter plots and correlations to kind of get a sense of what was going on in terms of caregiving burden and stress. We made some, you know, pretty linear regression models, and we did a combination of both analyzing the models with burden and stress separately as well as together, and we also adjusted them for age, gender, and marital status, because those seem to be an important confounding factors. So I apologize, there's so much stuff in here, but there's some things just to point out in terms of our baseline demographics. The mean age of our sample was 47, and about 30% were active smokers. And in our population, about 14% were characterized as depressed. This is just the total population. And so we had about 8% of people in the sample that were caregivers, so it came out to about 230 people. And what was interesting is that they, other than them being more likely to be female and diabetic, they didn't really seem to have more depression, hostility, or anxiety. So they weren't really all that different from non-caregivers in terms of what they look like. So that kind of, you know, seemed to have our wheels turning a little bit too. Like, well, if that's the case, then what's really going on here? So first we looked at the relationship between caregiving stress and caregiving burden, and oh, look, there I am. And what's interesting to note is that there's really a lot of variability in terms of how people perceive their caregiving experience in terms of how much they're actually doing in terms of caregiving. So here's the stress and here's the burden. And you can see that some people have a lot of burden, but they're not necessarily all that stressed out about it. You know, there's some people that are really high up here, which kind of makes sense. And here in kind of the low amounts of caregiving burden, there are some people that really aren't handling it very well at all, even though they're really not engaging in that much caregiving. Again, supporting our hypothesis that this is really a subjective experience in terms of how people see their caregiving experience. So just some results from our simple models. Caregiving stress was associated with higher depression, anxiety, and hostility scores. These were all very significant. And, you know, as we expected, caregiving burden was not associated with any of these mental health outcomes. So, again, being a caregiver doesn't in and of itself, you know, lead to poor mental health outcomes. It's the experience and how you're perceiving it that does. And when we adjusted for age, gender, and marital status, this again seemed to hold true. The results were still slightly attenuated, but again, they held up. And we then put both caregiving stress and caregiving burden, threw them in the model together and partialed out the results. And here, what was interesting is that caregiving burden all of a sudden became significant with these mental health outcomes. If you actually look at the regression parameters, they're super, super tiny. So we kind of attributed this to an increase in power. When you throw in more things into the model, it tends to increase the statistical power. And so all of a sudden, this became significant when, in fact, you know, it just may be an artifact of the increased power. So what did we learn? We learned that caregiving stress is significantly associated with higher depression, hostility, and anxiety level, and this was just not found for caregiving burden. So while caregiving stress and caregiving burden are related, and they totally are, they don't seem to have the same ill effects on caregivers' mental health. And we found no indication that caregiving in and of itself has this, you know, is bad for your health. You know, we kind of need to think about what that actually means. You know, there's so much study, there's so much in the literature in terms of how bad caregiving is for you. But again, this is not necessarily the case. We kind of need to pick it apart a little bit more. We need a better lens in which we kind of study caregiving, better definitions, more unified definitions, so we actually all use the same definitions of caregiving burden, and that we actually differentiate between burden and stress. These are an objective measure versus a subjective measure. You know, caregiving demands are complex. They're not easy to define, and they're not linear or straightforward, and they really may change throughout time in terms of how you are dealing with caregiving and what your demands are at that time and you know, what's going on in people's lives. So, you know, a lot of times you always often talk about just lighten, if you had more resources to lighten caregiving load, then that would fix the problem. And, you know, what our study shows is that it's not just lightening the load, but it's really about helping people cope. And that's from an emotional and psychological standpoint, not just from, you know, a purely burdensome standpoint. While both are important, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't help people in terms of their caregiving load, it's really about how they're coping with it, and actually addressing and talking to people about it is really important. We did have some limitations. So these measures of caregiving burden and caregiving stress, while they, I thought, were pretty good measures, they're not a known, validated measure of either. It would be great if they did, but nobody asked me. This is a Canadian population, so it's not necessarily, and it's in Nova Scotia, which is, you know, not as super diverse as other places. And so, yeah, it's a little bit of a problem, but it's what's interesting is they don't even ask about race in this. Yeah, there's no like race variable at all. They don't talk about race. So kind of hard to even decide what that means. And these are cross-sectional results that I presented. Now, I do want to point out, though, that we did have a very significant, significant finding when we looked at outcomes, 10-year outcomes for heart disease, heart attacks or heart events. Oh, that's weird. Oh, it came out on my side, not there. Okay. So we did find that there was a significant association between caregiving stress, again, not burden, and long-term heart events. They were significant, but there were really only 4 people that ended up having the heart event. So while it was significant, it really, you know, it seemed a little silly to have a whole talk about it. But it does seem to fit the same kind of idea that, again, it's stress that's important and not burden. So again, just to conclude, the caregivers who reported higher levels of stress were more likely to experience poor mental health outcomes versus those who had lower levels. And the relationship, again, didn't hold for caregiving burden. And so we really need to kind of start talking about the perception and ability of people to cope with their caregiving, as well as what they're actually doing in terms of caregiving burden. So, thank you so much. And, good question.
Just a technical question. Is there a data set in the U.S. that kind of look at the... Because I think your study is very interesting, but it doesn't have diversity.
It doesn't. So in the U.S., yeah, I'm
actually going to start. Hispanic before, no burden on caregiving.
Which is really interesting, right? Because it's such a cultural thing in terms of how people look at caregiving. You know, it's. I haven't looked, but I'm actually looking for new data sets to kind of look at the same questions to see if it still holds.
It's really good to look at the same
Right. I mean, it would, again, because some people actually think of caregiving as something that's a positive experience or something that's so innate in their culture, and it's so something that's done without even thinking about it, that they don't perceive it as a burden, and they're not stressed out about it either, no matter how many hours they're doing. So. Adults and children.
Were you numbers big enough to be able to tease out the groups caring for adults versus?
No, it was a small, you know, we didn't ask in terms of the ages what, you know, whether they were caring for children or adults. So my feeling is that for the most part it was, you know, a very small population of people that were caring for disabled children, whereas, you know, for the most part, people tend to care for their elder. Yeah. It's a small sample.
Thank you so much.